some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to an exciting new week of Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and tonight, in just a couple of moments, we're going to be bringing on Broadway's own Seth Sykes. He's doing a new show at Feinstein's 54 Below in May and June. It says Seth Sykes sings Liza Minnelli. I need to say that five times fast. He's gonna get upset with me. Seth Sykes sings Liza Minnelli. I'm going to do it five times fast, Seth, I promise. But he's going to be there May 2nd and June 8th. We're going to talk about that and so much more with Seth in just a couple of moments. But to give you a roadmap for where we're going this week so you can set your clocks and reminders, Tuesday, I'm actually taking a day off tomorrow. I'm meeting with Scott Travis of CBT Candles. We're continuing the formulation process, and we're getting down to the wire to get the Blonde Jesus Candle Collection and essential oil colognes. We're getting ready to have it go to the production facility. So I've got to take tomorrow off. So we're not going to do a show tomorrow, but don't worry. We're still doing five shows this week. Wednesday, we've got Jeannie Scales coming to the show for the very first time. I can't wait to talk to her. Thursday, we're doing Rated LGBT Radio, and Rob Watson and we're welcoming Gregory Blair. He is a young man who I met while working on Child of the 70s season 4 out here in Hollywood back in October. And Gregory loves to star in horror pictures, not horror pictures, but horror pictures like thriller, scary movies. And Gregory's going to join us on Thursday's show. On Friday at 7 out of Canada, we've got a jazz group called Kinder Jazz. They're going to join us at 7 o'clock. But at 6 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Billboard chart topper Ashley J at 6 o'clock. And that's all Pacific Standard Time. I can't wait to hear Ashley's music. Also, Kinder Jazz. We're going to be talking to both of these artists on the Friday night dance party. And then Saturday morning, bright and early, we're going to be doing Super Gay Radio with my co-host, Paul Emery. We'll hear from Miss Viola. Of course, that's Paul. He's going to be calling in, or Frank, talking about the RuPaul review. And then Broadway's Kenny Kleiber is going to join us for the first time. Kenny, I've met a couple of times. He's absolutely adorable. But of course, you'll remember him from the Frank DeCaro show on Sirius XM. He would do That's Kentertainment. And Kenny's going to call in for the first time on Super Gay Radio on Saturday morning. And so you will want to stay tuned for that. So tonight, we have Seth Sykes. And this is my first opportunity to have this talented young man on the show. He's going to be at Feinstein's 54 Below May 2nd, June 8th. He sings a variety of Liza Minnelli and Judy Garland tunes. And I need to understand how he ended up with a mother-daughter 1-2 punch, because now it just totally makes sense. I've been watching his videos on YouTube today. But his Judy Garland show won Broadway World's Best Tribute Show Award recently. And so he's not only a talented singer, but he's also a director. He's been a performer in other productions. And so I could probably read his resume, but it'd be so much more fun just to talk to him. So without further ado, Seth Sykes, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Hi, good. I'm so glad to be on here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here, Seth. And I'm a little embarrassed that I haven't had you on before, but now I can't wait to have you here tonight, and hopefully we'll have you back many more times in the future. But for everybody who's hearing about you for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what makes you magical?
Well, I'm not sure I would describe myself as magical, but thank you for saying that. So I guess I'm a singer. And the funny thing about that is I have not been a singer for most of my life. I've been working sort of on the other side of the table, mostly as an associate director in the theater. But in the last 2 years, I've started doing what I like to call a nightclub act as opposed to a cabaret act, which implies a person sitting around a piano singing songs. I sort of do this old-fashioned nightclub act, singing old songs with a big band at Feinstein's 54 Below in New York. And I guess what I would say is I'm a sort of contemporary, youngish boy singing really old songs and singing the arrangements of two of my idols since I was a kid. It was first Judy Garland, and now it's all Liza Minnelli. But it's a sort of special thing, I think, because it's a big, it's a big band and it's old songs.
Well, and I think that what really kind of shocked me here, Seth, is the fact that, you know, looking at your picture, age will be good to you. I will just tell you that over the course of the years. So that will be very, very nice.
Thank
You'll be 100
you.
Years old and you'll still look like you're about 25. So run with that as long as you can.
That sounds scary and terrifying.
Scary and terrifying at the same time. But, you know, you'll be employable. So that will be great. They'll hire you for all the teen movies. But so how do you go from being somebody who's, you know, behind the scenes, you know, doing assistant directing and things like that to saying, you know what, I'm going to go do my own act now? Because that, to me, that just seems like such a, an opposite polar end of the spectrum.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that, for example, you said I'd be so hireable at an older age. I'm not an actor. I'm not at all an actor. So I had gone to school for musical theater. And I thought I wanted to be an actor when I was really young. I'm 32 now, just for your audience. So you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
But
you're a baby. We love that.
Well, you know, I hang around with these young boys all the time. And I no longer feel like I'm young. But if you say I'm young, then, you know, I also hang around with a lot of people who are older than me. So I do feel young sometimes. But I don't feel as young as I used to feel. I don't feel like – I feel a little bit older and wiser than I did.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, the point is, though, is that I'm not an actor, so, but I miss singing all the, so I didn't miss being in a role, I didn't miss being, on the stage in a production, but I really missed the songs and the singing, and so, I always tell this story, but I have this addiction, which is I love piano bars. And in New York, we have all these piano bars who play show tunes. And if you're like me and you love old songs and old tunes, that's like, you know, it's like crack. I mean, if you want your fix at night, you go to the piano bar and you sing all your songs and you get it out. I have been doing that for years, and that was where I was having the most fun. And I hadn't been on stage in 10 years, and I thought, one day I'm going to do this as a stunt, right? As a one night only thing for all my friends. It'll be hilarious. And so I put it together, and I don't know. 2.5 years later, I'm still doing it. It's really funny. It's a total surprise and shock to me that people have embraced it as much as they have.
So Seth, was this when you put this together? Do you think that you were helped? Because it sounds like this was very successful for you fairly quickly from the time that you put this together. Do you think that your time behind the scenes helped you cultivate a show that really was very marketable or that you knew going in would be successful?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. I really do. I think that working on musicals and working on new shows and seeing how they're put together and fit together and how so my first show, which was a tribute to Judy Garland, was all of her songs and all of her arrangements, but the idea was that I wanted to tell my story about growing up and loving her as a kid in Paris, Texas, which is where I grew up, and I found a way to make the song interweave into my story of my life, and I think that came from watching rehearsals and working with really talented directors and seeing how things can be not only integrated but also truthful. So I didn't do, you know, if I had done something like this at a younger age, and trust me, I would not have, because I wouldn't have had the balls to do it. But I think that it would have been, I think it would have been either campier or maybe less truthful or less, I think, lack the structure that I was able to find based on the influence I had working as an assistant director.
Well, I find that interesting because looking at the videos that that Scott sent over earlier for me to take a look at today, one of the stories that I loved and how you do what you do comes across so effortless. So I bow down to you and I just say thank you for being so polished in all that you do. But before one of the songs that you sing, you talk about going on a trip and going to all these places where people have died and there's something that's commemorative on the house, and you tell a fun story about going to where Judy Garland, I believe, had passed. Can you
That's right.
tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. So again, you know, Judy Garland was my idol since I was a little boy. Weirdly, like, you know, I grew up in a small town in Paris, Texas, you know, really small town. And somehow I found her as a kid. And like many gay men, I was obsessed with her from a young age. So later I knew that she had died in London, and the more obsessed with her I became, the more that she had died in this hotel, they called it. It wasn't a hotel, but it was actually a house. It seemed like sacred and hallowed ground, and I wanted to pay a pilgrimage to it. So I went to London a couple of years ago, and I went to the house, and it was honestly it was a pilgrimage of sorts. And
wow.
We found the house. It was, I don't know how, if you want me to tell the whole story of seeing the house, but what the hell, I'll tell it.
What was it like? I mean, I've not been there. That'd be fascinating.
Well, you know, I mean, she didn't have a lot of money at the end of her life.
Really?
Everyone around her, she didn't know how to take care of herself, her finances, herself. She always trusted the men in her life. And the men in her life usually were crooks, or they took advantage of her. And so she didn't have the money. She died penniless. In fact, she died in great debt.
Wow.
But anyway, the point is, the house she lives in, which is in a sort of chic neighborhood now, is a sad little news house, an old carriage house. And that doesn't matter. But when we found the house, it looked like it was about to be torn down. And there were boards over the windows and it looked really scary because we thought this was the end of the house, but someone had taped up and other places in London where famous people live, they'd have these plaques that would say you know, such and such famous person lived here. But the Judy Garland house had no plaque, nothing. But it did have a little taped up note that was taped up by a fan that said, "The great Judy Garland lived and died in his house." So that touched me, and it was a rose taped to it. But anyway, I think the point of the story, maybe you remember, is that since it felt like sacred ground to me, I took a piece of the house, a piece of the plaster for the front of the house.
Yeah.
I actually have it very near where I am right now. It's in my bedroom. But, you know, it was a sort of amazing moment.
Okay, Seth, I've got to know why. I mean, and I'm going to be honest. I might be a bad gay here because I don't share the same fascination with Judy Garland or Liza Minnelli. I appreciate them, but I'm not like a mega fan like so many people are. So I'm asking this because I just don't know why. What was it about Judy growing up that just really called out to you?
Well, let me ask you before I answer, and it's a really hard question to answer. Are there people that you admire? Like, who do you have?
I'm going to be very stereotypical. I'll go like Madonna, except for not the stuff that we don't like that the Madonna has done, but you know, just like the good Madonna, and then you know, we start categorizing ourselves for that.
Well, you know what? I could answer your question. I can compare the two.
Okay.
To do with talent. I don't know why, and maybe I'm biased. Of course I'm biased because I'm gay. But I think gay men have really great taste. And I think Madonna has a lot of talent. Not my thing. I don't really get it. But I can admit that she's really talented. It's the same kind of thing for Beyonce. That's why the gays love Beyonce. It's talent.
Sure.
For Judy, she was the greatest talent there's ever been. Growing up as a kid in Texas and seeing her in old MGM movies, I didn't think, oh, this tortured soul, she's like me, I'm so tortured. It wasn't that. A lot of gay men love to think that's what the comparison is. But I saw her and I thought, wow, that voice, that personality, I don't know, better than the rest. And that's sort of maybe how you felt about Madonna and how these kids feel about Beyonce. And, you know.
So
I just think, go on.
So in Paris, Texas, Seth, how does Judy Garland find her way to your home or to your movie theaters? Where do you find Judy for the first time?
Well, I'm 32. We had VHS tapes. There was no YouTube yet. I think that, you know, the kids now, they have access to so much. You know, if I had YouTube, I would have just been watching these Liza and Judy endlessly. But my aunt, I know, and God knows what kind of social media content I would have been putting out embarrassingly at a young age. But my aunt happened to like Judy and Liza, and she had these VHS tapes of a couple of Judy Garland musicals, and actually coming around to Liza, because we've been talking about Judy for a while, and now I'm singing Liza. She also had this VHS tape of Liza singing at Radio City Music Hall. It was this big live concert. She just happened to like showbiz performers, and I watched the tapes obsessively as a boy, and I mean, like, you know, 7 or 8 years old. And one day, she told me that Liza, this one woman I love singing, was the daughter of this other woman I love singing, Judy Garland, and I could not believe two people were related. It was actually, it was overwhelming. So, like, in a funny way, you know, I feel like, I haven't thought about this till now, but how, like, how fitting it is that, how sort of, that I'm singing, I sing Judy and Liza, but it's been
right
since I was a boy, you know?
Oh, my gosh. I just got goosebumps when you're telling me this, Seth. So I love the fact. So when you're coming back to 54 Below in May 2nd at 9:30 p.m. and Wednesday, June 8th at 7 o'clock, it says Seth Sykes sings Liza Minnelli. And boy, I'm going to need to say that 5 times fast for you. But are you doing any Judy or are you just doing Liza on that particular show? How is that going? How's the format work out for you?
So it's all Liza. I have done 6 or 7 Judy Garland concerts. And I feel like it had run its course in New York, and it was time to do something new. But Liza's 70th birthday was on March 12th. And I thought, well, this seems like the perfect opportunity to do my other favorite, you know, singer, Liza. And I thought people would come out to see it, and they did. And so I did the first Liza concert on her birthday, March 12th. She's 70. Can you believe she's 70?
She's a good-looking 70.
I know she is. She is.
And has she been to one of your shows yet?
No, she hasn't. She moved to L.A. She's out with you now. And the other thing is, you know, I think if you're Liza Minnelli, you don't necessarily want to go here somebody singing your songs because you're going to assume it's going to be an impersonation or a drag thing, which, by the way, for your listeners, it's not what
it's
I
totally
do. It's not drag. Or, yeah.
And
so,
Seth, that was actually one of the things that really surprised me. Was in watching your performances, it's like you dressed up in a great suit. You're looking very handsome and dapper, and you just bust these songs out. I'm like, this is a show. And it's like, I wish I were in New York on May 2nd and June 8th so I could come and hang out and watch it. Because I've been to 54 Below before, and it's a great club. And it's, you know, and you've got great food, and you get drinks, and then you get some entertainment, and it is spectacular. So what do you have lined up coming up?
So I'm doing two more Liza concerts, the encores of the Liza birthday concert. And then I'm actually taking the show on the road. The Liza concert I'm doing in San Francisco at Feinstein's at the Nikko Hotel on June 16th. And I've never been to San Francisco, so this is going to be kind of exciting. And then I'm also doing it upstate and at Saratoga Springs, the Liza, a version of the Liza concert. And I'm hoping to bring it to L.A. If I bring it to L.A., maybe you can help, you know, you can bring some people out to see it.
If you come to L.A., I will get a gaggle of geese, and we're going to come and hang out and come to the show. That would be so spectacular. So
that'd be awesome.
When you get ready to do your show, you know, because you've got, you know, what is it, 50 years of song catalogs to really go back and, you know, of course, Cabaret is, you know, her Liza's big song, all of that. But how do you say, you know what, I'm going to pick, you know, 10 or 12 songs that we're going to sing during my act for this? And after you've picked them, how do you keep them fresh for you so as an entertainer you can go, I can't wait to go out and sing this tonight?
That's a good question. I think songs I do are the ones, and like any singer, it's a combination of things. But I really, you know, the main part is are the ones that ring the most true with me emotionally. So I dug out some old songs that people didn't know, that Liza songs that people haven't heard, that meant something to me. Like, for example, one of them is called Plenty of Time, and it's about running out of time, feeling like you're running out of time because you haven't met the husband or the lover of your dreams. And that's really personal to me. However, the audience also wants to hear the staples, like Cabaret. So I try to find a good balance of the ones people want to hear and the ones that mean the most to me. But anytime I do any song, I try to make it come from a truthful place. So I'm doing another one next Monday. I'm now just trying to get back in the groove of singing them again. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what my angle is going to be and what's going on in my life that I could feed each song. But does that sort of answer your question?
Totally. Well, it totally does. And I think that one of the reasons I'm really so entertained by the videos that I was watching earlier today is you do tell these personal stories, you know, about your life and things that are going on. And for me, as an audience member, that really lets me connect with you. So even if you sang something that I've never heard before, I'm going to love listening to it because you've connected the song to me through your own experience. And I think that is a lost art that you do very, very well with your audiences. So I commend you for that, because some of the songs that I was listening to earlier today, I haven't heard before. But, you know, getting a little bit of background about why it was important to you or why you're singing it, then I was like, okay, I'm down. It's, you know, we've got, 6 minutes here. Let's, you know, let's dive into this and see where we go. But then the second you start singing, you know, you get lost in the fact that you have this brilliant performance that you're giving. And again, you make it look just so effortless and easy, which I find surprising that you say that, you know, I'm not really a performer. I'm not really an actor. And then you get out here and do this, like you're singing out of, all the coliseums around the country every night. So when you are, you know, you said you're having to kind of get back into the routine, how often are you performing? And can I ask, you know, what do you do to stay busy during the day?
So technically you would call it cabaret, what I do. It's not a money-making business, really. So I have lots of other jobs. I continue to work sometimes as an assistant director, but those are, you know, every couple of months the show comes along. I also work part-time for not-for-profit. I'm a babysitter. I sometimes cater waiter. You know, I certainly live the New York struggling artist lifestyle.
Sure.
I only get to do the shows every couple of months, like every 2 months. So in the meantime, if I'm not working on a show as an AD, then I'm doing all the survival jobs.
And you have to. I don't really care where you're at. I think that's pretty much the life of an artist, unless, you know, you are Liza Minnelli and you're getting, you know, seven figures to come in, you know, sing three songs, then you're off doing whatever it is you do next. So
that's right,
Seth. Now, do you have CDs out, or how can people support you and help you as an artist continue to thrive and flourish?
Well, I don't have an album yet, but a lot of people are encouraging me to do one, so maybe in the next year. But in the meantime, you can see me on all over YouTube, Seth Sykes, and you can see me on Facebook. You can follow me. Again, easy, Seth Sykes. It's with an I, by the way, S-I-K-E-S. And you can find me on Twitter, Seth Sykes. And you can find me on Instagram, Seth Sykes. It's pretty easy. Nothing's hidden. And that's how to find me, I guess.
Cool. And just for everybody who's listening to the show tonight, I want to make sure that you know on the show page, because there was a lot of places to go find Seth, I tried to just make it really easy for everybody tonight. So on the first little, Seth Sykes joins Red G Radio tonight, blah, blah, blah. Seth Sykes is actually a hyperlink to his website. So if you click that, you can go see a lot of information about Seth. You can see what a handsome young man he is and find out more about the particular dates. Seth, before I let you go, because I just get you for a little bit of time tonight, number one, I hope you come back in the future. You can just, you know, tell me and we'll make it happen. But do you have advice for any of our listeners out there who might be struggling artists or musicians or authors or anybody who's in a creative field for pursuing their passion?
Yes. Only do it if you have to do it, because it's not easy. And The other thing is, be truthful and be honest if you're doing it. And if you do, people will pay attention. If you're doing it broadly and non-specifically, it will probably get lost in the mix.
Great answer. There we go. Everybody, it's been Mr. Seth Sykes. Go check him out at 54 Below on May 2nd at 9:30 p.m. and also June 8th at 7 o'clock. You can get your tickets at 54below.com. And Seth, this is a huge treat for me. Thank you very much for being here tonight. I sure appreciate it, and especially with the time difference. You're a trooper for calling in late.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was nice to meet you, and I'll see you when I come to L.A.
Yeah, well, we're totally BFFs. We're going to hang out. We'll have a we'll split a leaf of lettuce and share a cup of water as we do in L.A. because we don't eat carbs.
Perfect.
There we go. Thanks, Seth. I appreciate your time. Have a great night. For everybody else, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick break and listen to our friends from It Matters Radio, a shameless plug for my album, Blonde Jesus, and then we'll hear from our friends at Rainbow Brew as well, and we'll be back to talk current events right after this.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
I wonder how people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a duff man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, laddie, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be?
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I have a hard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Well, what a treat that was to have Mr. Seth Sykes, who sings Liza Minnelli. But I'm telling you, I don't know why I have such a tongue twister here. Seth Sykes sings Liza Minnelli. Seth Sykes sings... You don't want to hear me do that, so I'm not going to do that. But Seth Sykes sings Liza Minnelli at 54 Below, May 2nd and June 8th. Get your tickets at 54below.com. Go support that handsome young man. I will tell you, really shocked. I had no idea what to expect. I booked this back in January with Scott Gorenstein. And, you know, Scott, boy, what a home run. Thank you very much for having this talented young man on the show. But, you know, Scott sent over some videos and, Seth's, PR packet today. And I read through it and it's like, well, boy, this guy's a great talent. Scott's right on the money here. And then I went and started watching his music video, or not music videos, his videos from his performances at 54 Below and singing both Judy and Liza songs. the guy's got the gift. He is a great showman, a great storyteller, and he delivers a song with a punch. And boy, I'll tell you, if you're in the area in New York to go see him, you know, May and June, I would certainly be buying the tickets. I think the tickets are reasonably priced too. They're like $30 or something like that. And if you're going to go see a show anywhere, especially in New York, you know, you're not paying $30. You're paying a $30 cover charge to get into some place, let alone getting entertained. So go check that out. I do hope he comes to LA. That would be awesome. So what have you guys been up to over the weekend? I've got all kinds of things that I want to go over, and I'm not sure if we're going to get to cover all of them. But I want to send big shout outs to my friend Scott Travis, who's with CBT Candle. And it's kind of like a Scott Travis promo night here because I'm working with him on the Blonde Jesus Candle and Essential Oil Collection. It's a cologne that it's a unisex cologne. 7 scents are coming out. We're going to have that ready in June. I was doing the formulation on that. But he's got a great promo out. It's the Mother's Day promo. We're going to be doing some fun advertising for that shortly. But if you go to cbtcandle.com and want to place an order, he's got all these really cool scents. And they're made with essential oil. They're soy-based, so it's all natural. And you can go ahead and order to your heart's content. And if you use the coupon code MOM, M-O-M, at checkout, you'll get 25% off. And not only are his prices already reasonably priced for something that's a custom, you know, it's a custom product that he makes these himself. He's got a whole, you know, laboratory set up and he makes the scents. He's got it formulated, you know, and he has, you know, the whole process done. It's quite fascinating to watch him do all of this. But if you go to cbtcandle.com, you get to order all of these different combinations. And if you've got mothers or mom figures, maybe it's a boss or your aunt Gertrude or your next door neighbor or something like that. And, you know, they're special in your life and you want to get them something that is not a gift card because like, oh, great, I got a gift card to Best Buy, just what I wanted for Mother's Day. You know, moms love candles. So go to CBT Candle. Scroll through all the stuff that he's got there. And he, by the way, he's got a brand new website too. And it's very easy to shop and use coupon code MOM and thank me later when your mom says, honey, that was the best Mother's Day gift ever. Cause you get 25% off. I mean, who gives you 25% off of anything? So that's my little promo for Scott, but I can't wait to work on the fragrances. We got together last week, you know, and of course, you know, before we did this, I sat down. And it's funny because, you know, I sit down and go like, oh, I know exactly what I want to have each of these smell like. And I've got an idea and I write down that there's the combinations of the scents and the oils. And then we start putting them together and it's like, this doesn't smell like I thought it was going to smell like. And he goes, I know because he's got an expert nose. So we put together, I don't know, about 7 or 8 different, you know, test fragrances, trying to narrow down really to get to like maybe 2 or 3 that I kind of liked. And then he says, okay, we're just going to leave these little, you know, tester cups. I guess that's what you'd call them. But it's kind of about the size of what you would put like a tea candle in, something like that. And so I left them in the kitchen and came out into the kitchen the next morning. And the whole living area smelt crazy insane. You know, it's kind of like if you smell like baking bread and an apple pie and, you know, chocolate and all the good things that you ever want to smell. That was what the kitchen smelled like. And I said, okay, we finally got a hit here. So I've got one of the scents that we're working on, and maybe I'm crazy for trying to do all 7 at the same time. I don't know, but that's how it's going to launch. But we got, you know, out of all the things that we worked on, I got like 2 or 3 and I'm like, okay, I think we've got a couple of winners here. So I'm very excited about that. And then tomorrow is just the continuation of the formulations because I've now kind of expanded, you know, my thought process on how I want to make a couple of these work. So that is what's going to be happening tomorrow. I'm also excited to share with you that starting next month, the last Tuesday of the month, and I think that's the date that we've agreed to, I'm going to be doing a new author spotlight with the sponsorship of SCWA, Southern California Writers Association, and Lit Up. So Maddie and Larry over at SCWA and Steve, I want to say thanks for being on board and excited about showcasing some of the talented authors that you have that come to your networking events. We've had some great people on the show who have already been part of SCWA in the past, but that was more like a byproduct. But now we're actually going to be doing a showcase or a spotlight on SCWA talent. So people like Gail Carline, Jeff Michaels, Caitlin Rother, Dot Caffrey, and the list just goes on. Steve Jackson, he'll be on in a couple of weeks. We've got Seamus, if you're listening tonight, I forgot your last name. But we've got all these people who've been on the program before who are already scheduled, but now we're going to be doing the SCWA Spotlight once a month. And I'm really excited to do this, not only because the people that are going to be on are great writers. They write books that when you start reading them, and if you know me, I am not a reader. I'm not somebody that sits down, 7 days a week and says, I just can't wait to dive into a new book. Reading is the last thing that I will ever want to do. And so if I get, authors that are on the show, I actually do read their books before they come onto the show. Just number one, it's out of respect, but two, if I want to talk to them about either their characters or their writing process and what they're going through. And I've yet to be disappointed by any of the authors that have come onto the program in the last 4 years. So I think we're, going to be in for some exciting conversations and topics about the writing. But more importantly, I want to talk to a lot of these folks about the business of what they're doing, because as Seth pointed out, being an independent artist, it's a struggle. Nobody's out there making trillions of dollars, living their dream, unless you're, Justin Bieber or Taylor Swift and you've got huge record labels behind you, or you're starring in a Broadway show that's, getting, $100 million a week in revenue or something like that. You are, the babysitter, the waiter, the this, the that, and the other thing to let you do that one show, once a month, something like that. So I'm excited to talk to them about their business plans, as a writer and author. And I bring it up because I was at an event yesterday. I say an event. It was brunch by another guest who was recently on the show, Solange Ritchie. Her book called Burning Man, creepy murder mystery, kind of whodunit type of a thing. It's about this guy who he's a mass murderer, and his, claim to fame is that he likes to pour acid all over his victims. It is really disturbing and a page turner. But at brunch, one of the guests there, her name is Deborah, and I didn't know Deborah was an author. And so Deborah is just, carrying on conversation, and we start to talk about, the publishing world, and she says, it'd be nice if, there's a way that we could, start talking about the business of writing, because it'd be, maybe I would have sold more than 8 books. And I said, well, I didn't know you were an author. And that was my first time meeting her. I probably would, if that was me, I probably would have led with that. Hi, I'm Deborah. I'm an author. Here's my book. But I didn't find this out until the very end of our conversation throughout the course of the day. So I would have liked to have enjoyed more thoughts on, how she did what she did and what she would do differently moving ahead next time. So I think it's a helpful topic and an interesting topic for independent artists who are out there when, quite frankly, you might be a fantastic author or a singer or an actor or a whatever, but there's really no book or how-to guide for people who are out there. Primarily because there's, no two paths are going to be the same. It's not like, well, if you take your CPA exam, we can all go apply at KPMG and we can be, certified public accountants. Or if we pass the bar, we can go join a million different law firms. It's like, well, if I sing a good song, maybe somebody will like me. Or if I act in a play, maybe I'll have a producer that will see me and will cast me in something else. It is certainly a much different animal than a standardized, quote unquote, career that is out there. So speaking of plays, last night I had the pleasure of going to see Terry Ray play a character in a new production that he's putting on. It was opening weekend for him, and it was called Electricity. And it plays now Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through the end of May. And it stars not only Terry Ray, but also Kevin Scott Allen in a 4-act play. It takes place over 40 years at 4 decades of high school class reunions. And it's the dynamics of these two over the course of this period of time. And I had the chance to read the play. Oh, what is it now? We're in April. So probably like in February sometime, maybe it was even late January, got a chance to read the play with Terry. And I knew then that it was going to be great, but I did not know how well it was going to be acted or nuanced or referenced from a technology standpoint, because there's lots of different things that happen over, you know, different courses of 40 years. You have, you know, cord and telephones to cell phones. And I got to sit front row last night with Paul and Stephen from the LA or the Long Beach Filmmakers Gallery. Got to see Suzanne Wong. Of course, she's, you know, an actress, you know, has been in TV and movies all over the place. Also starred with Terry Ray in From Here On Out on Here TV a few years ago. So lots of familiar names, lots of familiar places last night. And if you are in the LA area and are looking for something to do on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday night, you have to see the play Electricity. If you don't know how to find that on Facebook, it's Electricity, the play by Terry Ray. You can just find it that way. Contact me and I will get you connected either with Terry or on how to, you know, get the tickets. You can go to electricitytheplay.com and get your tickets and just have a fantastic night. Shockingly good. Everything Terry does is good, so I shouldn't be shocked. So I'm not saying that it's like, I can't believe Terry finally did something good, because everything Terry does is good. But to see him play such a dramatic part and such an emotional part over the course of the entire production, that was something that I had not seen from him before. So we always see him in these goofy characters. And here, you know, he played something that was very serious and heartfelt. And I totally loved it. Five stars, five stars, five stars. So if you get a chance to go do that, please do. Looks like we got a caller. So let's go to the phone lines and say hello. Hello to Rated G Radio. Who's on the line?
Hello.
Tony. Is this Tony from
Hey,
Hackensack?
Garrett.
How are
yes,
you?
Tony from Hackensack. I am great. How are you doing?
I'm excited that you called in. So what, I mean, what's going on in your world back east? We got everybody from New York listening in, or New Jersey.
Oh, that's great. You asked before what we did this weekend. Well, I had an incredible busy weekend, pretty much celebrity-driven.
Oh, I love hearing that. What happened on your celebrity-driven weekend here, Tony?
Well, it started Friday night with an autograph show that people may or may not know about. They have these autograph shows where celebrities from current shows and past shows will show up, and you can meet the fans, get autographs, get photos with them. And I pretty much spent Friday night doing that. There's one in New Jersey called Chiller Theater. It was in Parsippany, New Jersey. They have it twice a year. And I met a good amount of celebrities that, and a lot of celebrities in the past who had a good time meeting. It's incredible. They're so grateful that they get to meet the people who they years ago used to get fan letters from, and now they get to see them on Facebook. And then when you get to meet them face-to-face, they can match you, and it was a great time.
So who are some of the big, well, as opposed to big names, but, you know, because you can have big names, but you can also have, you know, big names. You're like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. Who are some of the big names, but also some of the big gets that you got to hang out with yesterday or over the weekend?
Well, one of the big gets they had was they had a reunion, if you remember the show Chips.
Yes.
Eric Estrada, Larry Wilcox, and Robert Pine were all there together.
Get out. How'd they look?
They look good. They really do. You know, they look older, but they're still in shape. They still look good. That's what I say, that they really look good. They also had a reunion of this TV show, What's Happening. Remember that?
I loved What's Happening. With Rerun? Well, Rerun's passed, but, well, you know, yeah.
Yeah, so Rerun wasn't there, but Raj and Dean were there. And I got to spend a few minutes talking with them. It was a great show, that was. Also, those of you who remember Love Boat, Doc was there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, Veronica Opel was there. Well, some people also know him from Get Smart. But he was there, too. He's an older guy. I won't say what his age is, but he's older. But he's still with it, and he still was making everyone laugh with his jokes.
How incredible. Now, if my celebrity stalking of you is correct, Tony, it
mm-hmm.
serves me it serves memory that you also got to meet Anderson Cooper?
Well,
or
that
is that
was
a different
Sunday.
Event?
That was a different event.
Oh, good Lord. I can't even keep up with you here. I'm trying to be, like, relevant with you, Tony. Okay, so how did you meet Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper had just come out with a new book that he had written about his relationship with his mom. And last week, there's a bookstore near me in Ridgewood, New Jersey. It's called Bookends, free plug for them. And they, last week, I said back around Wednesday, all of a sudden we get emails from them saying they're announcing that Anderson Cooper will be there on Sunday at 5 p.m. Well, I had this event on Friday, and I went to a concert on Saturday. I said, well, let me just add this more, and I got to meet Anderson Cooper there. As long as you purchased the book, you got to speak with him, shake his hand, got to talk to him for a few minutes, got a photo with him, too. And let me tell you something. You think he's a nice guy? He really is. He's very down-to-earth. He's very friendly, very cordial, very personable, very admirable person. Really was worth it.
Now, do you think, though, Tony, that your interaction with Anderson Cooper was representative of who he is, or he's just simply playing off of who you are as well? Because you're a nice guy as well. So do you think if you went in there and were kind of a ding-dong, he would have been a ding-dong back?
I don't think he would have been. I think he would have known how to play it off and maybe keep a mental note of a ding-dong in their mind, but he would have been able to play it off. He was... You know, he was a good guy. And other people who I've also got to see him all said they all had just as equally as a great experience with him.
Wow. So have you taken a nap or gotten any sleep over the weekend? Because that sounds like you're going Friday, Saturday, and Sunday then.
Oh, yeah. I've been Monday. I haven't yet, but see, I'm struggling with my words now. You can see I'm getting tired now. It's catching up.
I'm catching at the tail end of your burst here. So who did you go see in concert?
Saturday night was a concert for my personal all-time favorite singer, the lovely Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, my gosh.
I have loved her. It really was. I was a very young boy when Grease came out. And seeing her in Grease, I had never seen her before. That was it. And it's been out 38 years now, and in 38 years, she's still my all-time favorite singer. So she was performing here. Yeah, she was performing right here locally, so I went to go see her. And there was a bit of a surprise. I expected part of the surprise. You know, she does a lot of her hits, as you know, and her show always ends with the different songs from Grease. And when she got to Summer Nights, which I'm sure you're familiar with that song. That's the one with
I love it. Bet.
Yes. Okay. Everyone knows that song. She announces that Dee Dee Khan is in the audience who played Frenchie.
No.
Yeah. So Dee Dee Khan gets up. They give her a pink lady jacket. She joins them on stage. And then she says to everyone, I got another surprise. Another good friend of mine is here, Clinton Kelly of The Chew.
No.
Yes, he was there. And the funny thing is, he was sitting in the row right behind me. Oh, and I didn't even know it.
Of course.
So they brought him up on stage. So when she sang Summer Nights with her backup singers, they were also part of the he was a T-Bird, she was a Pink Lady, and they all sang the song. It was an incredible 90-minute show. I mean, if you're familiar with her stuff, she did her old country hits. She did the Grease stuff. She did the songs from Xanadu. She did my personal favorite song of hers, which is Physical. It was an incredible 90-minute show. It really was. And,
yeah, and I think that's one thing, you know, like it's interesting having Seth on earlier because, you know, he's taken two icons of gay culture, but just of the music genre in general over the last, you know, 50, 60, 70 years. And has done such an amazing job, you know, taking, you know, standards and that everybody expects, like to hear Liza Minnelli's Cabaret, which he does brilliantly. But mm-hmm. Olivia, you know, you take that to like a show with Olivia Newton-John where she's performing the hits herself. And, you know, I think what I really respect about where she's at in her career now is she's like, you know, it'd be great if I did, you know, all these songs that nobody's heard of, but, you know, they're paying X number of dollars a ticket and they want to hear Physical. They want to hear Xanadu. They want to hear... you know, You're the One That I Want. They want to hear, you know, the classics that everybody comes to expect. So she can take all of these different genres that she's been so successful in and, you know, not even scratch the surface on, you know, all of the hits and still have a full 90-minute show. I mean, it's like you must have just been on cloud nine, Tony.
Oh, totally. I was told, a friend of mine came to the concert with me, and I was forewarned. Well, if someone's going to the concert with me, I'm going to forewarn you. Like, you know, like I said, 38 years I've been a fan of this person. I'm going to become a different person when she hits that stage. So just be prepared.
Uh-huh.
And they're always prepared. And we were in the seventh row center, so we had perfect seats right directly in front. Yeah, it was a great
Did
concert.
You scream like a schoolgirl?
A few hundred times. And what's great, too, is that she interacts with everybody, too. Like when she did physical, she didn't just sing the song, and she had everyone get up. And when she was doing exercises, she was having us do the exercises. When she did, like I said, Summer Nights, you know, in addition to the backup singers, we're doing the parts of the T-Birds and the Pink Ladies. When she did The Other One That I Want, again, she had everyone get up. Everyone's doing the moves. So it's not just you're sitting there, you know, want everyone and the energy. I mean, you can Google how old she is. I'm not going to say what her age is, but
I like that you think that you're being so delicate here, because anybody could Google it, but she has to be what, she's 70 something?
She's 67.
67. And for 67, you talk about her like she's 128 and you're being delicate. She rocks 67. I mean, she makes 67 look like something I want to do, not, oh my God, she's 67.
No, because she doesn't look 67, and she certainly doesn't act like she's 67. You know, when people when we were kids, 67 were old, like our grandparents, they were old. That's not that way anymore. And she's
right.
She gives an amazing show. She absolutely gives an amazing show. She really does.
So lucky for you. So, okay, what's been going on in your world? You're doing all the social media stuff now. What's happening in the rest of your week?
This week is pretty much. Pretty much just work. It's such an amazing weekend because I did all whatever work I needed to do so I could have the weekend free and didn't have to think about business at all. I spoke to somebody earlier today about a possible working with them for their social media. They need someone to build their web or rebuild his website, so I spoke to him. I put out two feelers to two other people last week, so I have to follow up with them. So it's back to business, basically.
Right on.
And I don't mind.
Yeah, well, you
like
can't
that.
Have fun every 7 days a week here, you know, Tony. You need to do something to pay the bills so you can go see Olivia Newton-John.
Exactly. I swear, and I will say that I'll give her a free plug, too. She has a residency in Las Vegas, and I would say to people, if you can get to Las Vegas to see a show, go see her show. Just check out. She's at the Flamingo Hotel. I believe she goes back in July. Check the dates. Check online. And if you can see her show, it's definitely worth it.
Well, there we go. And I will tell you, I will not be there in July because July in Las Vegas is like hell because it's 350 degrees. It might be nice once you get inside the casino, but getting inside the casino is a pain in the butt. So,
well, she's not there. Well, she'll be there in August and September. So there's months, I say she returns in July. You guys, everyone listening, want to go see her, check the dates, like I said. And
yep, but it'll have to be
the show.
After summer months because it's like when I go to Phoenix, my folks are always like, you know, come on out for a visit. And I'm like, well, it ain't happening between like, you know, May 15th and September 20th because it's, you know, 120 degrees there every day of the week. Tony, can I ask you a question? And this is, you know, because I'm asking from a West Coast perspective to an East Coast perspective. And I know that this is like a hot topic. And one of the things that is just, you know, and I've kind of not said anything because I try not to be political on my posts, you know, because I'm trying to move some merch myself. But I saw something today that just really kind of, you know, it got me. And I had a couple of people make, you know, some comments that really resonated with me and then also kind of just had my last nerve. But there's a big post that's on USA Today. Well, it's on usatoday.com, just so go just check this out. But it says more than 500,000 people did an online boycott of Target over transgender bathroom policy. Is that making a lot of news back where you live, too?
You know what? I'm going to be really honest with you. I did not hear about that until I saw your post earlier today. That was news here for me today, too. I actually agree with what you had said about it, but go ahead.
Well, you know, this is my two cents. And if you don't like it, that's fine, you know, because we don't have to all like everything. I just said, you know, if you're going to debate with me, do it respectfully, and I'll try to do the same with you. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's smart for these companies just to say, hey, you know, we're not going to discriminate. And we can get into the, well, I don't want my child to see, you know, I don't know how many people go to any establishment going, I can't wait to go to the bathroom, number one or number two, and I can't wait to run into people and socialize with them in the bathroom, and or I hope I'm going to run into disgusting people in the bathroom. It's always been in the back of my head, the last thing I ever want to do is use a public restroom. I don't care where we're at, if it's Target or a restaurant or whatever. If I have to hold it, I will hold it as long as I possibly can. Only if I absolutely have to, that's when I will do this. I can't imagine what really is going through these people's heads thinking that they're going to be, you know, approached. I mean, nobody's ever talked to me in a bathroom. I don't know about you, Tony. Do you go to bathrooms and have people talk to you?
Rarely, and no. I pretty much just do what most people do, just keep to themselves. You don't really look around. You don't try to start conversations. You just do your business, and then you leave.
I just don't get this. Why do you have, I mean, from your community, I mean, you've got your friends back there. Why do you think people are so crazy about this particular topic? Because, you know, it's always going to be like something is a hot button topic. And, you know, it's like, well, once something else comes along, it can be Justin Bieber's new arm tattoos. And then we forget about, you know, whatever. And so it's like this week or this month or this quarter, it's letting people actually go to the bathroom when they have to go to the bathroom. Why do you think this is such a huge thing right now?
Well, I think it's just because the whole transgender, although it's not a new thing, it's been publicly made known for the last few years. I mean, people always say it started with Caitlyn Jenner, but if you really think about it, it didn't start with Caitlyn Jenner. But I think the last couple of years, but she helped bring it into the spotlight, let's put it that way. So it's a whole new issue for everybody. And, you know, with North Carolina, with their, you know, it's just a bunch of crazy stuff. Personally, you know, people should be, you know, if they're identifying as female, then let them use the girls' bathroom. They think, you know, they identify as a man. You know, it's a hard subject. And I just think some people, you know, a lot of people don't really understand it, and I'm not one who's going to preach about it because I am not transgender. I'm a male, identify as a male, so I can't explain to the people who are transgender how they feel. I can't be the voice for them, but I respect them and I respect what they're going through, and I, you know, wish them the best. And if that's who they are, then that's who they are. You know, I don't have the right to say that's not what you're supposed to. You know, that's just how I feel.
And I think, you know, out of all of this, as you know, because again, I'm not saying anybody should do this or that or the other thing. I'm just saying here's where I'm really going to get on my soapbox here, Tony. You're going to do all of this stuff, who is going to police whatever? I mean, because it's weird enough that people want to say, well, you can't use this bathroom or that bathroom. But then how is it less weird to have somebody say, I need you to pull down your pants and let me see what's between your legs before you can go in here and take care of business? That, to me, really creeps me out. I would not, you know, I would not want to have to, you know, pull my underwear down in front of somebody and say, see, I can use this restroom or I can use that restroom. That just creeps me out.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. And this whole issue, you know, well, pedophiles and all that, I mean, statistically, transgender people are not the pedophiles.
Right.
Most pedophiles are people that, you know, I have not been a victim.
Straight males, straight heterosexual males, but that's, you know,
which
is scientifically proven, but that's a whole different topic for a different day. But.
Right. Or there's been family members. People that they know.
Yeah.
Family members, coaches or babysitters or something.
Mm-hmm.
Not a stranger.
No.
Transgender people aren't into that. And so why they're making that jump association, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Tony, as much as I want to continue the conversation, I think that's a topic that is not going to be solved tonight. And plus, we're out of time. So I want to say thanks, Tony, for calling in. I'm thrilled to hear about Olivia Newton-John, Anderson Cooper, the cast of Chips, and what's happening and everything else that's going on in your world. Please make sure to stay in touch. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to Seth Sykes. You must go see him at Studio 50 or 54 Below May 2nd and June 8th. Go get your tickets at 54 Below and be entertained by a wildly talented young man. We'll be back live on Wednesday night with Jeannie Scales. Again, Thursday on Rated LGBT Radio, Gregory Blair is our special guest. Friday on the Friday Night Dance Party, it starts early at 6 o'clock. with Ashley J, and then Kinder Jazz at 7, and then Super Gay Radio at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. For that, everybody, welcome back to A Fresh New Week. We'll see you live on Wednesday.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.